founder, the first president of WVU, was a fellow Scotsman, and he mandated that the day on campus would begin with Bible devotions. Perhaps maybe we should start that again. Turn up on campus with a Bible in your hand and learn about the gospel. Good news, God's Son Jesus Christ sent into the world in order that you might be saved, in order that you might come to faith in Jesus Christ and salvation through his name. Bible says, God's word for you here today in WVU, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know? Implication being that you ought to know. Not the ABC, not the deep mysteries of God and of the Bible, but the mysterious working of regeneration, but the simple basics, the ABCs, you know, of the gospel. Know ye not, don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They're excluded. That's you too, son. That's you too, boy. You're excluded. Unrighteous, unholy, ungodly. That's what unrighteous means. Know ye not, you ought to know that in your unrighteous state and condition, and that's your condition as you're born into the world. That's you as you come from your mother's womb. Conceived in sin in your mother's womb. 9 months later, you're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, in lawlessness, and living in lawlessness all your days, unless that is, of course, the grace of God by the gospel. My gospel intervenes. Salvation, a possibility. Such, the Bible goes on to say, were some of you, speaking about Christians to whom the gospel came and changed, altered their unrighteous state and condition and brought them to salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Know ye not? Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's what we come here for. I'm a preacher of the gospel, a minister of Christ. I'm not a scientist and not a philosopher. I come to tell you only what God says, what God's word says, the Bible, nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. The word of God says the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God wants you to know that. I want you to know it too, because in your unrighteous state and condition, not right with God, not included in the kingdom of God, but excluded from the kingdom of God, but also to tell you how that you might be included, that is, how you might come to be brought to a state of righteousness and brought into the kingdom of God. How? In the way of repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No other way by which a man, a woman, can enter God's kingdom. First words Jesus Christ spoke as he took up his ministry. Check it out, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the way that you enter God's kingdom. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what does unrighteous look like? Unrighteous is ungodly. Ungodly is unholy. What is unrighteousness? Ungodliness. What is unholiness? It is that which is contrary to God. Contrary to God in your nature, conceived and born in sin. Contrary to God in your practice. Contrary to God every which way. In your whole being as you're born into this world. Unless by the operations of God's grace, that nature is changed, you remain in the entirety of your being ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, excluded from the kingdom of God, without hope and without God in this world and without life. So you need to know that. But what does unrighteous, what does that look like? How do we put flesh on that? Well, it goes on to tell us, don't be deceived. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. That's unrighteousness, fornication. Yeah? Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it means to be unrighteous. The list is not exhaustive by any means, but it gives you an idea, gives you a notion, if you like, of what's meant by unrighteousness. Fornication, fornicating, sex outside of marriage, that's not what the gift of sexuality was given for. It was given only to be exercised within the confines of God's institution of marriage between one man and one woman. Not two men together or two women together, but one man with one woman for life. The sexual gift is designed, God's purpose in holiness and righteousness is that gift should be exercised only in the institution of marriage. So don't be deceived, fornicators, sex outside of marriage, for that you are excluded from God's kingdom. Idolaters, false religion, Mecca's variety, Rome's variety, and all the other sects and cults in your world today. Idolatrous religion, the worship of images, trusting in some god of your imagination, maybe even the god self, yourself, you know, making yourself out to be God. Trusting, looking for comfort, looking for hope, looking for life and love in something else other than your maker, your creator, other than God himself. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Adultery, of course, is contrary to God's commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. A commandment given not to restrain people's sexuality, but rather to preserve and to protect family life, another institution of God. It's within the family that you're supposed to learn about God. And of course, within the family, you're supposed to learn to answer to authority. If you don't learn it there, you'll never learn it anywhere else. The institution of God, of the family, is God's institution, and it is protected by the commandment. That's what all the commandments of God are given for. It's for your protection. Thou shalt not commit adultery protects the institution of marriage, God's institution of marriage, between one man and one woman. And not effeminate, that's boys who give themselves to men for toys. Nor not homosexuals, the male kind and the female kind. Homosexuals, sodomites, the word is, and lesbians. Contrary to God's commandment, contrary to God's holy standards, contrary to righteousness, such are excluded from the kingdom of God. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then, of course, the Bible goes on to say, speaking, of course, to Christians, not you yourselves, those who were such as that, such were some of you, but ye are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. In other words, there's hope for the unrighteous. There's hope for such sinners, whatever variety it is that you're into. There's hope for you. There's good news. There's a gospel, the power of God unto salvation, that justifies, that makes the unrighteous righteous, or reckons them righteous by the grace of God. The gospel, the good news, God's salvation. Such were some of you. You were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. But now you've inherited the kingdom of God. How? Well, by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, they were justified. To justify something or someone is to make them right. And you need justifying. Why? Because you're not right. Because you're unrighteous. Naturally born. Conceived in sin in your mother's womb. Born in sin. Born into a state, a condition of unrighteousness. Separated from God by your iniquities. By your unrighteous state and condition. The gospel is the means by which God alters that state and condition. Justifies the ungodly, the unrighteous, the unholy, that is, makes them right. Jesus Christ, he in whom there is no sin, he was made sin on the cross. The sins of sinners who trust in him were placed upon him. He took the curse, he took the wrath of God, he took sin upon himself in order that the sinner who believes in him might be reckoned with his righteousness before God. When you believe, when a sinner, an unrighteous, unholy, ungodly sinner repents towards God, believes in Jesus Christ, connects with Jesus Christ, that very moment they are justified, they are made right with God in the name of Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God, the one that you've offended, the one whom you've offended with your unrighteousness. The moment that a sinner truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon they receive. Forgiven and declared by God, reckoned by God, justified by God, made right by God, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name in which a sinner can be justified, can be made right. Not by your imaginary good works that you don't have, because there's none good, says God, and there's none that doeth good. None righteous, no, not a single one, says God. So, not your good works, imaginary good works, not your doing, the grace of God through the gospel proclaimed to you, the information brought to you, the knowledge that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, that you, in your unrighteous condition, will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not see the kingdom of God, will not enter the kingdom of God, unless by the grace of God, unless through the preaching of the gospel, bringing the truth of the knowledge of God to you, to your minds, that your minds might be stirred up, and that by God's grace, that he might bring you to that place of seeing your danger, knowing, understanding your need of being made right with God, being justified. It's the $64 million question. How does a man get right with God? How is a man justified before God? By grace alone, the gift of God, free gratis. That is, you don't pay for it, you don't do for it, you don't work for it, you can't pay for it, you can't do anything for it, because the moment that you say you have to do something, pay something, then it's no longer free, it's no longer grace. Grace is absolutely and utterly free. By grace, and by grace alone, is a man justified before God, made right with God. By grace alone, through faith alone, believing, that is, the words of Jesus, only believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith in Jesus Christ, believing, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The words of Jesus again, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's how unrighteous people enter the kingdom of God. By faith, grace alone, faith alone, believing, apart from works, any works of yours or anybody else's. Salvation, justification before God cannot be worked for, cannot be earned. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, because there's no other Savior, no other who died for sinners, no other who gave himself up to the death of the cross. Muhammad did not do that for sinners, and neither does the Pope of Rome. Jesus Christ alone died for sinners. The only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is, no man gets right, gets justified before God, but by me, says Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Faith in him, and faith in him alone. No other mediator, none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. One name, and one name only, Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the one who came, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead, in order that an unrighteous sinner such as you, excluded from the kingdom of God, that you might be brought in, that you might be included, that is, that you might be justified before God, made right with God. Justified, sanctified, separated, that is, from this world that lies under the sway of the evil one, of the devil, a demonic world that does not belong to God. Jesus Christ did not come to save the world. He came to save, he came to rescue, he came to deliver all of God's creation, the whole cosmos, because the whole cosmos, all of creation is affected by sin, by man's sin. It's dysfunctional, it's broken, it's spoiled, it's ruined by man's sin, man himself too. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he's not talking about every man, woman, and child born into this world. He's talking about the creation. He's talking about the cosmos. But out of that creation, there's humanity. And out of that humanity, there are those, Jesus Christ says, who will be born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. See, justified, sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Those who will be through the preaching of the gospel and the operations of God's Holy Spirit, they will be reborn. That is, God will place His life into their souls and place His love into their hearts. He will change them. They will be reborn. They will be given a new nature. The unrighteous nature taken away and given a new nature. One that loves God and one that obeys God. So it's not all men, but God in the gospel, by the operations of His Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, He sanctifies sinners. He separates them from this demonic world. Separates them from other sinners. He brings them to Himself. He separates them. He makes them holy. He sets them apart for Himself. And of course, in doing so, separates them from other sinners. So, not everybody, not every man, woman, and child born into this world. Maybe perhaps you've heard it said in times past. Maybe perhaps false teachers have come amongst you telling you that God loves everybody. Not true. He hates workers of iniquity. He hates evildoers. He hates those that shed innocent blood. He hates men and women outside of Jesus Christ. He loves His own people. He loves those whom He sent His Son into the world for, to die for on that cross. When Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for sinners, He took names to the cross. Those whom God chose from before the foundation of the world and gave to His Son Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, and who draws by His Spirit, draws them to Jesus Christ in time in their history. No man can come to Me, says Jesus, except the Father who sent Me draws them. So, you see, my friends, you're closed in to God. Unless God gives you grace, unless God imparts grace, repentance, and faith to you, you remain excluded from the kingdom of God. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not down to you. It's not down to your efforts. It's not of you who chooses. It's not of your decision. You did not choose Me, Jesus said to His disciples. I chose you. It's not your choosing. It's not your working. It's not of Him that runneth. It's not of Him that works either. It's not of man's doing. It's of God's grace. It's of God's doing and God's doing alone. So, without the grace of God, without the preaching of the gospel, how will you hear? How will you know? How will you come to understand that in your unrighteous state and condition, you're excluded from the kingdom of God and will not inherit the kingdom of God? And how will you know by what means you might be repaired, restored to God? How will you know unless the preacher comes and tells you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by me talking science to you. Not by me talking philosophy to you. Not by me debating with you about the origins of the world, the universe. Not by me debating with you whether there's a God or not. That's a conversation we will not have. Because you know that there is a God. Every man, woman, and child born into this world knows that God is. You can tell you know that by everything that God has made, by all of creation. It leaves you without excuse. You know that God is, but what do you do with that knowledge? You suppress it. You hold it down, says God, in unrighteousness, in that unrighteous state and condition that excludes you from the kingdom of God. You hold it down. You suppress that knowledge in wickedness, says God. But God has given you His word, the Bible, His own revelation, a special revelation by which you may come to know what God is, what He is like, and what it is that He requires of you, that you might know, understand, that in your unrighteous state and condition, you're excluded from the kingdom of God. But He would have you also to know that in your unrighteous state and condition, in the way of repentance towards God and faith towards His Son, that you might be declared righteous, that you might be justified, sanctified, and saved by the grace of God, that is. So by grace, grace alone, faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. But the revelation of God is given to you, and you can read the Bible, and you can see what God requires of you. You can come to understand what the Bible says, but unless God chooses to reveal Himself, unless God shows Himself to you, you remain excluded from the kingdom of God. God sovereignly disposes, imparts grace to those sinners whom He pleases to impart it to. There are no guarantees. God is absolutely and utterly sovereign in salvation. He's the potter. You're just a lump of clay on the potter's field. And the potter, God, that is, He makes the clay into whatever He pleases to make it into. He makes the clay into vessels of honor, those that He loves, those that He saves, those that He sanctifies and justifies. But then He makes some vessels, He makes them to dishonor. Some vessels, He makes them simply and only just to destroy them, to cast them aside, to break them. That's a picture of humanity, pieces of clay, every single one of us. You see, you say, that's not fair. God's not into fairness. He's the potter. He does with the clay whatever He pleases to do with it. And He will do with you whatever He pleases to do with you. Maybe He'll cast you into hell. He sends the gospel. He sends His servants amongst you to preach the gospel, that some of you, some might be saved, one might be saved, but maybe not. He sends the gospel to harden sinners, to affirm them in their damnation. He sends the gospel to save, only to save His elect, to save only those whom He has chosen to salvation, those whom He has chosen in His Son Jesus Christ, those for whom Jesus Christ died. That's not everybody. Jesus Christ took names to the cross. Did He take your name? I don't know. Are you one of God's chosen? How would you know? What would be the evidence? The evidence would be that you would repent towards God. The one that you've offended grossly with your unrighteous, unholy condition, your unrighteous being and your unrighteous behavior. That is your fornicating, your thieving, your idolatry, your adultery, your sodomy and lesbianism, your covetousness, your drunkenness, your reviling, your extortion, that you might be saved. Maybe somebody here on campus today, God will give you ears to hear, give you a heart to believe, give you a will to obey. But maybe not. Maybe He'll harden you. Maybe He'll confirm your damnation this afternoon through the preaching of the gospel. Maybe He'll confirm you on the pathway to destruction. God, hear me. God is the one that you need saving from. It's Him that you've offended, and offended grossly. By your every footstep, by your every word, by your every thought, unrighteous to the core of your very being, your existence is an offense to God. Until by the grace of God. But that's the good news, you see, such were some of you. Such were some of these Corinthian Christians. That's what they were. Unrighteous, unholy, to the very core of their beings. Cut off from God, alienated from God. Without hope in this world, without life in them. No life apart from God. There's no life apart from Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My sheep, not the goats. The goats, they don't hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus, and they follow me. That would be proof. That would be evidence that you are a child of God, that you are one of God's elect. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But the goats, you don't hear my voice, says Jesus. You don't hear my voice because you're not one of my sheep. You're one of the goats. The goats, they go to everlasting destruction. The sheep, they go to everlasting righteousness. Are you deaf? Stone deaf to the voice of God, to the voice of His Son? All you hear, just the voice of a man, of a preacher, is that all you hear? Stone deaf to the voice of the Spirit of God. My sheep, the ones that I came for, the ones that I died for, the ones that I went to the cross for, the ones that I loved so much that I was willing to live for them and die for them, willing to take the curse of God upon myself for, take the wrath of God upon myself for, in order that they might be delivered from their unrighteous, unholy, ungodly beings and lifestyle. Christ loved the church and died for the church. And by church I don't mean Roman Catholic. By church I mean God's elect. By church I mean those that Christ died for, and they alone. So what's required of you? Such were some of you, but ye are justified, sanctified, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Need washing because you're dirty. You're unrighteous, makes you unclean, defiled. In the Bible you can read about the lepers, and they had to run about with a little bell tinkling to warn people that they were coming, so that others wouldn't be defiled by their disease. Because the disease, sin, you see, is like leprosy. It spreads like wildfire. It spreads on your campus. You spread it amongst yourselves. So maybe perhaps on campus you could run about with a little bell crying out, "Sinner, sinner, I'm a sinner, avoid me, in case you get my disease." But then of course you've all got the disease anyway. You've all got the disease anyway. You got it in your mother's womb. Your mummy gave it to you. Your daddy gave it to you. You were conceived in sin. You were born in sin. And you lived in sin, unrighteous, unholy, ungodly. And you will not, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Unless God grants you, unless God grants you repentance towards himself, unless he grants you faith towards his son Jesus Christ, you remain in your sin, unclean, dirty, alienated from God. But oh my friends, God has made a way possible by which you can be washed and made clean. The cross where Jesus bled and died, where the Lamb of God shed his blood, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that washes, that makes spotless and clean. Oh, the holy divine blood of God's Son shed for sinners. Therein is the love of God. Therein is the love of God. Love, that love that you all talk about but know nothing about. That love that you talk about, sing about, but you can't define it. What is it? What is it? You can't define it. You don't know what it is because you've never met love. Love is God sending his Son into the world to be nailed to a cross to shed his blood in order that a sinner like you might be reconciled to him by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. No other sacrifice for sin. No other means by which you can be washed. No other means by which the stain can be removed. The hymn writer asked the question, what will wash away my stain? He answers, he says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The wonder-working, powerful blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are you clean? Don't ask you, are you religious? I'm asking you, have you been born again? Have you got the life of God in your soul, the love of God in your heart? Have you been changed? Have you been washed? Have you been made clean, justified, sanctified, and washed in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God? You must be. You must be, or you shall never, never enter into the kingdom of God. You are excluded. Unrighteous, unholy, ungodly, separated from God by your iniquities, and one day to perish in the fires of hell, where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. Unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, unless you're born again, unless you're justified by God, unless he grants to you, gives to you, not your doing, unless God grants to you repentance towards himself and faith towards his Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you, you'll die in your sin. You'll die in your sin, and hell's damnation awaits you. That's the majority of humankind. Many are called by the gospel, many are called, says Jesus, but few are chosen. The masses of humanity are for hell's damnation. Its jaws are lying wide open even now to receive you into the furnace of flame, where the fires are never quenched, where the worm dieth not. Such were some of you. Such was I 42 years ago. But I was washed. I was sanctified. I was justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. God granted me in His grace, granted me repentance towards Himself and faith towards His Son Jesus Christ, and saved me, included me in the kingdom of God. My prayer for you today is that in hearing the gospel, that God will give you ears to hear, that He will heal your deafness, that He will give you a heart to believe, that He would remove the stone, that lump of marble that's inside of you, that He would remove that rock inside of you that you call a heart. And I'm not talking about that thing that pumps blood round your body. I'm talking about your innermost being. I'm talking about your person. That God would take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. That He would cause you to be reborn by His miraculous supernatural operations through the preaching of the gospel, to the knowledge of God brought to you here by His servants, that you would be awakened to the reality of your condition, the reality of your sin, and the reality of your danger. That God would awaken you out of your slumber of death and bring you to that place where you would cry out, as one man did in the Bible, "What must I do to be saved?" And that answer would be to you, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Faith and faith alone, it's all that matters. It's what makes one person differ from another. Nothing else. Faith in the mighty Son of God who died on that cross, rose again from the dead, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. He's coming to judge you. The day has been appointed by God in which He will judge the world. Every man, woman, and child born into this world will be judged by Judge Jesus in that day. What will be your sentence? What will be your sentence in that day? If you have not believed, if you have not been justified by God, if you have not repented and believed the gospel, the sentence will be, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." But should God grant you repentance, should God grant you faith towards His Son Jesus Christ, then the sentence will be completely different. It will be, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I pray God grant you today, God grant to you unrighteous, unholy, ungodly, separated, alienated from God. I hope, I pray that God would grant you grace and grant you that necessary repentance and faith towards His Son Jesus Christ. May God have mercy upon your very precious, never dying souls.